The following is provided through the IAAIS Program Share Service.
Hello, and welcome to this week's Soap Opera Digest. I'm Virginia Voice volunteer Tim Vogel, keeping you up to date on all your favorite characters and soap opera news. Our first article today comes to you from SoapOperaDigest.com. Exclusive. Nathan Owens can breathe again, now that true Young and Restless identity is revealed. By Mara Levinsky, February 3rd, 2025. On the Monday, February 3rd episode of Young and Restless, viewers learned that the character Nathan Owens began playing in early January is not, in fact, Damien, the son of Amy Lewis and the half-brother to Nate Hastings. His true identity is Holden, a decoy employed by the real Damien, played by daytime newcomer Jermaine Rivers. Served with a twist. Owens knew before he reported to work on his first day at Young and Restless that this twist was in store. I pretty much found out when I found out I got the job, but not when I was auditioning for it, he explains. When I was auditioning for it, I actually auditioned for Damien, the real Damien. A few weeks after, he learned that the show wanted to go a different route in casting Damien. I got a call about another option, about being the right-hand man of Damien. When the prospect of playing Holden was presented to him, Owen says, I was over the moon. I was like, are you kidding me? It was on a couple of levels because I'd already written the idea of a role on Young and Restless off. And then for them to come back to me and offer up something else, in my head, the way I thought about it, is that they just liked me and what I did, and they just wanted to find a spot for me on the show, and that will get the heartstrings going. You can be pretty tough on yourself in this industry, so when something like this happens and falls in your lap, it's a blessing. As he began prepping to take on the role, it was clear that I was going to be disguised as or acting as if I was Damien for a bit to kind of suss things out, suss out the situation, and I was like, okay, here we go. The actor dug into the challenge of being introduced as someone who wasn't who he appeared to be. As an actor, I thought a lot about, okay, what would this boss Damien be like, and how would I act as if I was Damien in front of Nate Hastings versus who I am as Holden? I was like, maybe I'll put on a little bit more of swag, a little bit more tone in my voice, stuff like that. I added a couple of little things like that. Nothing too crazy, but just something like you would typically do when you're trying to disguise yourself as someone else, Owens adds. You'll see a bit more of Holden come alive as this progresses, and the more that we see Damien and as more of Holden's story and history with others on the show gets uncovered, you'll see him reveal more of himself versus his version of Damien. According to Owens, Holden is a very, very charismatic man. He is, I don't want to say a Lothario, but he's a charming dude and he's very single. And he has quite the interest in alcohol. He's definitely worldly and cultured, but there is a bit of a mysterious darkness to this character that I want to tap into even more as the story progresses. It's all very new to me. I'm curious about him, and I'm finding out more each day. I want to go as deep as they're ready to go with it, as dark as they're ready to go with it. I think there's a lot you could do with this character, and a lot of storylines he could be placed in and cause a little ruckus. Owens has already forged a solid backstage bond with the actual Damien, Jermaine Rivers. I was wondering who it was for a while, and then Jermaine came in and we hit it off immediately, Owens enthuses, describing his new castmate as just a really wonderful guy. Seeing Jermaine turn into Damien and us going at it on screen has been really cool. We worked together behind the scenes, working on our scenes together, and then to finally get to see it all come to fruition on stage, we were like, oh, wow. That was good, man. Nice. That was a great choice you made. He's a very generous actor as well. Young and Restless is a team sport, and he's a really great teammate to have and to work with. It is a resounding relief to the actor that the cat is now out of the bag. I can breathe again, he grins. It's been difficult to keep the secret. It's especially difficult when you're having a discussion with anybody about the storyline and stuff like that. I have a hard time with that because, for some reason, my initial gut reaction is to be like, yeah, these are all things that are happening right now. I'm a terrible secret keeper. I've done a pretty good job, though. As for what Owens wants Young and Restless viewers to know about what they can expect from Holden, the actor hints, I would want to tell the fans that they will soon learn that my character has a past with someone in town, and maybe a certain lady, so he will be busy keeping secrets as he settles in and as the drama continues. That was the article, exclusive, Nathan Owens Can Breathe Again, Now That True Young and Restless Identity Is Revealed. Written by Mara Levinsky and read to you from SoapOperaDigest.com. Our next article also comes to you from SoapOperaDigest.com. Tanner Novlin weighs in on Bold and Beautiful's definitely messy paternity reveal for Finn. Also written by Mara Levinsky, February 3rd, 2025. On the Monday, February 3rd, Bold and Beautiful confirmed the news that Sin fans were bracing themselves for. Finn, Steffi's devoted husband and a doting dad to their son, Hayes, is also the biological father of murderous Luna via his long-ago sexual encounter with Poppy, who just so happens to be his adoptive mother's sister. Father knows best. In an interview with Us Weekly, Novlin acknowledged of the twist, this is definitely messy. But he's on board with that, telling the outlet, this was a shocking and exciting twist for sure. While Novlin was surprised to learn this new information about Finn's backstory, the tryst with Poppy took place years before his character was introduced on the show in 2020, he declares, I understand Finn even more now, learning that this is in his past, noting that Finn had a pretty troubled childhood. Novlin argued that the sheer fact that Finn was intimate with his adoptive aunt suggests that there's a lot of trauma to unpack. It even solidifies more why he wanted to create a perfect family for himself. That family is the one that Finn has with Steffi, Hayes, and Steffi's daughter from a previous relationship, Kelly. And their domestic bliss will likely be thrown into turmoil when Finn's wife learns that he has a surprise adult daughter, one that took her hostage and tried to kill her, no less. Novlin hinted that Finn won't be able to ignore his biological connection to Luna. It is his daughter, and he feels a real responsibility, but at the same time would remain steadfast in his desire to keep things solid on the home front with Steffi. That plus that equals drama, the actor grinned. The paternity reveal will also have implications for Finn's relationship with his adoptive mother, Poppy's sister, Lee, and will potentially shake things up with his biological mother, Sheila Carter Sharp, as well. While Finn is an upstanding doctor, Sheila has her own long history of criminal behavior and has also tried to end the life of Finn's lovely wife. Meanwhile, Finn and Luna's relationship will undergo its own bumpy transition as Finn reels from the realization that the young lady he regarded her whole life as a cousin is, in fact, someone he shares a much closer familial connection to, at least in the biological sense. Summed up Novlin, he's prone to giving people second chances, but then she tried to kill his wife. He hasn't forgotten that Luna has issues, so it's going to be interesting to see how he navigates that. That was the article. Tanner Novlin weighs in on Bold and Beautiful's definitely messy paternity reveal for Finn by Mara Levinsky of SoapOperaDigest.com. We continue on SoapOperaDigest.com with the article Days Exclusive. Elia Cantu says jilted bride Jada is headed for her breaking point by Janet DeLario, January 31st, 2025. Rafe's decision to call off his wedding to Jada leaves her confused, gutted, and heartbroken on Days of Our Lives, reports Elia Cantu, who portrays the jilted bride. The actress weighed into Soap Opera Digest about her character's nuptial nightmare and its fallout. Soap Opera Digest. This is your first daytime wedding. Going into it, were you a little sad knowing that it obviously wasn't going to end well, given that the groom isn't Rafe, but rather his look-alike imposter Arnold? Elia Cantu. I wouldn't say sad because I've been a day's watcher. We all know what happens at weddings on days. It's kind of notorious that you're never going to get to the I do's that something is going to happen. The show's known for that. I actually was kind of honored. I was like, you know what? I get to be a part of the weddings that don't really finish. Because so many of them don't. I think it adds to the excitement and the drama, and that's what people tune in for, so I was open for that. Soap Opera Digest. Jada might have had an inkling that something was off when she walked in on Rafe getting a lap dance at his bachelor party, yet that didn't seem to faze her. Why? Cantu. Jada is living her life and confident. She is not worried about no stripper. It didn't bother her at all when she saw that. She knows who she is and, well, at least who she thinks is Rafe. She knows that they have a strong bond and a strong love, so she wasn't worried about the little thing that she walked in on. Digest. On her actual wedding day, Jada sensed that things weren't quite right. Do you think she just tried to push those feelings aside? Cantu. She did, because at the end of the day, and that's another thing about playing Jada during this whole Arnold situation, I didn't want to just throw away her common sense. Jada's been very sharp since the moment she came on screen. She's always been very two steps ahead. She's an overthinker. She's very thorough and methodical. So her gut was definitely telling her something felt off, but she thought it was maybe just pre-wedding jitters. And then Stephanie and Gabby assured her that she was just nervous and they're her friends. It's like she felt something was off, but then she convinced herself that, oh, it's nothing. She was telling herself she was wrong, and she wasn't. She just wanted to go on with the wedding. She was definitely excited and very happy. Digest. Unfortunately, Jada's perfect wedding day imploded when Rafe stopped the ceremony and said he couldn't marry her. How would you describe how Jada felt hearing that? Cantu. She's gutted. I mean, she's absolutely gutted. She's been married before. We all know how that went down and how that ended, unfortunately, with Bobby. He was not good to her. And then just the way she lost him, how he died. Jada has been through a lot of trauma. She's not alone. She has her support system with Stephanie and Steve. But going through and being stood up at the altar and not having her sister or mother there, and her father, of course, is in heaven, I think she just has a moment where she feels very alone and almost like, who is this man? So she's very lost, confused, gutted, and heartbroken. She's devastated and just horrified. It's so embarrassing, too. She's just humiliated. That's the word. She's humiliated. And she's hurt. It feels like a horrible dream to her. Digest. Does she react with any anger? It would be great to see her haul off and punch him under the circumstances. Cantu. Oh, I know. Wouldn't that be great? There is some anger in there, but it's more hurt than anger. At this stage, I would say that the hurt definitely overrides the anger. However, I will tease that after all this is said and done, she is angry. And you may see some action, let's just say that. I don't know if it's a punch, but you're going to see some action towards Arnold. She's going to finally reach her breaking point, and there will be a moment, so just hold tight for that. That was the article. Days exclusive. Elia Cantu says jilted bride Jada is headed for her breaking point. Written by Janet Delario from SoapOperaDigest.com. We move now to soaps.sheknows.com for more news on The Young and the Restless. Why Young and Restless's latest Victor twist makes no sense at all. By Candace Young. Victor Newman is stirring a whole new pot of trouble on Young and Restless. The only problem? The premise of the plot twist doesn't make a whole lot of sense. There's never been any shortage of things for Victor and Jack to fight about over the years, and there never will be, which makes it hard to understand why Young and Restless is trying to manufacture conflict by floating a plot point that simply doesn't hold water. In the latest episode, Jack showed up at the ranch after hearing about the Newmans' showdown and shootout with Ian Ward. Purportedly, he wants to make sure everyone was all right, which is believable given it's Jack we're talking about, But Victor accused him of coming to see Nikki. Not getting any satisfaction out of the fight he was trying to pick, the mustache fired off a closing salvo as the abbot was heading out the door. It was designed to get a rise out of his nemesis, and though Jack carried on his way without a big reaction, it did leave him with his guard up, and he wasn't the only one. The decree? That Jack should keep his son Kyle away from his granddaughter Claire. Victor previously sat Claire down and warned her about the pitfalls of dating an abbot, telling her that at some point she would be forced to choose sides. Of course, he never acknowledged that the only reason she'd ever have to do that is because he refuses to put an end to his relentless rivalry with Jack. When questioned by Victoria and Nikki about interfering in Kyle and Claire's relationship, Victor announced that he didn't like his family members dating from the pool of people he hates. Unfortunately, this makes no sense whatsoever given, well, the entire history of the soap. Yes, Victor has always had a rivalry with Jack, but he himself was romantically involved with Ashley Abbott and continues to share a deep bond with her to this day. In fact, their daughter Abby is half Newman, half Abbott, as she loves to tell anyone who will listen. Newman's grandson Noah is living abroad with Jack's granddaughter Allie, and the mustache hasn't said a peep about that. Finally, Victor's other granddaughter Summer has her own love story with Kyle, married him twice, and they share a child together. Which brings us to the most glaring inconsistency here. It wasn't all that long ago he was pushing Summer and Kyle to make up. Of course, circumstances have changed since then. Kyle was useful to Victor at the time, and one could argue that the mustache is more protective of Claire right now than he is of Summer. Hell, everyone is more protective of Claire, who acts like a teenager rather than the trained killer and traumatized adult she is. But Victor's argument still makes no sense and makes him a giant hypocrite to boot. As we all know, this plot point is designed not only to create conflict for Victor and Jack, but to launch a Romeo and Juliet type storyline for Kyle and Claire, perhaps in a bid to get more viewers rooting for them. Will it work? That remains to be seen, but young and restless fans tend to be resistant to being manipulated and have already started calling out the plot twist. So, Summer married Kyle and Gramps was okay with it, but is furious because Claire is dating Kyle? Sally, February 3rd, 2025. The Newmans act like Summer doesn't exist, but you're right. Victor even has admitted he was disappointed by their divorce. Marie Claire Dupree, February 3rd, 2025. February 3rd, 2025. If Victor trying to break up Kyle and Claire, is he going to have the same warning to Summer, or would that be okay because of Harrison? And McEwen, February 3rd, 2025. The part that does ring true is that Victor will jump on any means of yanking Jack's chain to stir the pot with his nemesis. He's looking for a reason to fight with him, and it doesn't have to make sense as long as it gets the job done. Well, this should do it. That was the article, Why Young and Restless Latest Victor Twist Makes No Sense at All, by Candace Young of soaps.sheknows.com. Our next article comes to you from soapsindepth.com. What happened to Jack Brennan on General Hospital? By Chris Eads. The character of Jack Brennan on General Hospital is quite an enigmatic guy, and everything we learn about him seems to raise even more questions. The role is being played by Charles Masur, who made his debut in the December 1st, 2023 episode of General Hospital. Born in England, the actor grew up in Australia and has appeared in episodes of Hercules, Xena, Lost, Bones, and Las Vegas. Viewers might also recognize him from his roles as J.D. Pollock on Crossing Jordan, Kyle Hobbs on V, Ben Faulkner on Desperate Housewives, Blackbeard on Once Upon a Time, or The Beast on The Magicians. Although his run appeared to come to an end in the December 19th episode, He then resurfaced in March 2024 and put down roots in Port Charles. But in February 2025, it was suddenly announced that the role was being recast with Chris McKenna. John, later known as Jack Brennan, was first seen at Kelly's Diner, where he met Carly Spencer and told her he was in town on business and heard that they served the best burgers in Port Charles. While he was enjoying his meal, Brennan observed Carly offering a homeless man outside some food, and when he paid his bill, gave her a little extra to give to him. As Brennan prepared to leave Kelly's, Carly hoped she'd see him again and guaranteed that she would. Then, Roman Hume arrived to report that they had a problem because Sonny Corinthos was refusing to ship more product for them. The two men met in private, where it was revealed that not only was Brennan running the Pikeman organization, he was actually the head of the WSB. He insisted that they couldn't just kill Sonny and also needed to focus on Anna Devane. Brennan explained that Jameson Forsythe was meant to eliminate Anna and get the incriminating mission file, but failed, and they needed to recover the documents before it was too late. When Hume reported that Dante Falcarone had recovered the file and brought it to Anna, Brennan ordered him to take care of the situation. When he returned to Kelly's, he discovered that Carly had learned his true identity, and when he went for her, she defended herself. Just then, Anna and Dante arrived with Interpol, and Brennan was placed under arrest. In March 2024, Brennan was in a prison van, and when it pulled over to the side of the road, Valentin Cassadine hopped in. He greeted Jack and chided him for leaving him to do a lot of damage control at Pikeman, as well as for not realizing Jason Morgan was planted in the organization. Brennan noted that Valentin had always been part of Pikeman, but now was running the organization and wondered what his plan was for Sonny. When Valentin explained the plan to tamper with Sonny's meds, Brennan warned him not to underestimate the mobster. Valentin handed him some cash to continue bribing the prison guards and warned him he'd never see the outside again if Anna learned of his involvement with Pikeman. Alone, heading back to Pentonville, Brennan regaled the driver with tales of how he and Valentin rose to the top together, but upon reaching their destination, was amused to learn that the Cassadine had hired a deaf driver. Brennan and Valentin plotted to kill Jason and frame Sonny for his murder, then decided not to meet again so they wouldn't be connected to each other. The convict was intrigued when Carly visited and revealed the FBI was investigating Pikeman and later framed another inmate for stabbing him in the prison shower so he could go to the hospital for a bit. Anna informed him she knew he'd stabbed himself, and when Carly visited, he warned her to steer clear of him. Brennan met with Valentin again to warn him the FBI was behind Jason infiltrating Pikeman, and the Cassadine assured him he'd get the charges against him dropped. So, in July, when Anna went to see Brennan in Pentonville, she was stunned to find he wasn't there, and there were no records of him ever having been a prisoner. She went to the WSB offices in Washington, D.C. to get some answers, and that is where she found Brennan, who had been reinstated as a WSB agent. He then returned to Port Charles and moved into the Metro Court as he was heading up the local WSB office. He used Carly to lure Jason to his office in the hopes of getting the guy to do some work for him, but Jason refused. Still, Carly turned to Brennan when she needed the WSB's help in locating Lucky Spencer in Africa so he could be rescued and brought home. Jack not only got his location, but also called in an airstrike to help Anna and Jason escape safely. Brennan suspected Holly Sutton of keeping details from him, but again helped out when the diamonds she'd stolen from Sidwell in Africa led him to track her down in Port Charles and kidnap her daughter, Sasha Gilmore. However, after he had agreed to help Valentin skip town with Charlotte to avoid the FBI, Jack was less inclined to help Anna bring the Cassadine back to town. He wasn't pleased when he found out that Carly had agreed to bug his office for Anna and tasked his assistant with following Lulu Spencer as she went to Prague to meet with Charlotte. After Valentin was nearly killed by a sniper, Jack was irritated at Colette for taking the shot. Jack began helping out with various cases in Port Charles, assisting Anna in digging up more information about the bomb that exploded in Sonny's penthouse and sharing information with Jocelyn Jax that would lead her to Cyrus as Dex's killer. After Carly invited him to spend Christmas with her and her family, Brennan was happy to help arrange for Michael to receive treatment at a burn clinic in Germany. As 2025 kicked off, Brennan went with Carly and Michael to Germany and supported her as she worried about her son. While relaxing in the hotel spa, Valentin attempted to strangle him as payback for Prague, but Carly intervened and stopped him. A grateful Jack gave Carly a passionate kiss and opened up to her about his complicated friendship with the Cassidine. Stay tuned to see what trouble he stirs up next. That was the article, What Happened to Jack Brennan on General Hospital, by Chris Eads, and read to you from soapsindepth.com. And that is all the time we have today. Thank you for joining me for Soap Opera Digest. I'm Tim Vogel for the Virginia Voice. This program is also available on demand at virginiavoice.org.